Well, amen. I'm glad to be here this morning. I'll give you the abbreviated version this morning. Unfortunately, I don't know that I'll be able to do the full version. Pray for me. My outline is pretty much in my head right now. I just had to go back to the room, go back to sleep. Anyway, I told my wife on the way here, I said, well, now if he calls on me to preach, I'm just going to have to say, you're going to have to do the preaching. She kind of looked at me funny. I don't think she approved of that. I certainly was just kidding. Let me start in a book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 12. I just have a few points here, and as I said, I'll give you the abbreviated version. Psalms chapter 12 and verse 6. Words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day you've given us, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for these men of God assembled here, Father. And we thank you for giving us traveling mercies as we came this way. We thank you, Lord, for just the fellowship that we've had with one another. And thank you for the meals we've had and the hands that have prepared them, Father. And we thank you today for your word, Father God. And I just thank you once again for this opportunity once again to stand behind this pulpit, Father. And I just pray, Lord, that you calm my nerves, Lord. Give me clarity of thought. As I said, my outline's in my head, Father God. So I just pray, Lord, that you just help me to remember each thing that needs to be said. And Lord, that you just give me just enough voice to sustain through it, Father God. And we'll thank you for these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I obviously aren't going to tell you gentlemen anything that you don't already know, I don't believe. Many of you have been serving God for quite some time and been preaching for quite some time. And so when I'm asked to come up and stand before you, I think to myself, well, what do I have that these men need to hear? And the Lord just gave me a little something that I actually learned just here recently. And so it'll be my third point. We'll wait till we get to that one. But if you will, let's look in Proverbs chapter 22 for just a moment. We will come back to Psalms chapter 12, but in Proverbs chapter 22, pray for me as I speak this morning. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And it's my first point this morning I'd like to make. You know, the Word of God's been under a lot of attack throughout the last several decades, through the last century. And my first point, as I say, I'll keep it brief this morning, but my first point this morning is the Word of God has been removed from the house of learning. The Word of God has been removed from the house of learning. Back in the 60s, I looked it up, and there had been a couple of court cases where they had decided to take the Bible out of our schools. And they've taken the Bible out of our houses of learning, and we've wondered what's happened to our society as we've taken the Word of God out of the school. And we've seen the product of what's happened as we've taken the Word of God out of our schools. We've seen how the children have become more unruly in the school. We've seen that children have come in, teenagers have brought weapons into the school and began shooting teachers and fellow classmates and then ultimately sometimes themselves. And we see as this attack on the Word of God has begun to happen, we've seen the effects that it's had upon our children as we've taken the Word of God out of the house of learning. And we've just sit here and we've watched our society grow up with generations of children that are not familiar with the Word of God. Our country was founded upon the Word of God, and our schools were centered around the Word of God for quite some time up until the 60s. The earliest textbook that children had was the New England Primer, and it was filled with the Word of God. It was filled with the Word of God, and this is what we use to train our children. We use the Word of God to teach them how to read. I'm sure we probably used it to teach them math, explain what a cubit was and things such as that. And we've seen as the world has attacked the Word of God, we've seen the results of that on our children.
Right.
And I can't stand to think how bad it's going to be
right
very soon.
Yeah, right.
As our generation gets older, your generation gets older, and those of us that have grown up in church, as we see that we no longer train up the child in the way that they shall go. And we see how they've gone as they're young, and I can only imagine what they'll do as they get older. Since they have no word of God to depart from, since they haven't heard it, I can only imagine where we'll be as we continue to remove the word of God from the house of learning. Turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Now we've lost the battle for the word of God in the house of learning. And there's a battle now over the Ten Commandments. I'm going to go ahead and merge 2 points here. In the house of legislation, in the house of litigation, and we're just going to call it the house of law.
Yeah.
We'll keep it brief. There's a challenge, it seems like almost daily, about the Ten Commandments being posted in courthouses, around courthouses, in legislative plazas and places such as that, where our laws are being made. And the laws of the United States of America were based upon the Magna Carta, and it was based upon the Ten Commandments. That's right. And ultimately, our law comes from God. But as they try to eject God's word from these houses of law, legislation, litigation, we're going to continue to see the deterioration of our society. We're going to continue to see laws be passed that say it's okay to violate Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, thou shalt not kill. We're going to see laws that continue to allow us to abort the unborn.
Yeah, right.
The Word of God says that God formed us in our mother's womb. He knew us before we were born.
That's right.
And as we remove the Word of God from these places, we'll only continue to see the deterioration of our society.
Yes, sir.
We'll only see the continued deterioration of our society. But just imagine our lawmakers today. You know, when you look at the words of the Declaration of Independence, it says things such as we are endowed by our Creator. And if you read the entire Declaration of Independence, several times they mention our Maker. And they honor God. And when they decided that we'd have religious liberty and religious freedom, I sincerely believe they meant religious freedom of Christianity. And now our legislature and our Senate, as they have prayers before they meet, they'll have anyone come and offer a prayer to any false god. Heaven help us. Heaven help us where we're at today. And it'll only be a matter of time before the Christian will no longer be able to bring forth a prayer before these bodies of legislatures. And at that point, the laws will continue to slide into just anarchy, if you will. Because we truly won't have the law of God being what's driving our lawmakers. So as we look at the houses of legislation and the houses of litigation, we have, as I said, the Ten Commandments being taken out as as a reminder to judges.
Yeah.
As they sit before cases.
Yeah.
And they start to look and they start to take things in their interpretation of the Constitution as more authoritative than the Word of God.
Yeah.
And as we remove these reminders of the Word of God from these places, we'll only see them to continue to legislate from the bench and uphold laws that truly aren't lawful to God. The next point, this is what was brought to my attention sometime a couple of weeks ago, maybe even a week and a half ago. In our campus, I work at a secular university, or community college, and through the email came a message that said that they were having a banned book reading in the library. It was banned book day. And the good Baptist in me first thought, well, they're all going to get together and they're going to read their wicked literature. And they're going to, you know, have a good time, and I'm sure there'll be literature that mocks God. And so I brushed it off as I did, and as I would have normally done. But I got to thinking about it. They'd sent a link out to a website, the American Library Association. And I got curious. I said, well, what are the 10 most banned books this year? Or for 2015. I looked upon those links, and I started at number one, and I read down, and I got to number six. And apparently, librarians across the nation, in our public schools, and in our public libraries, and in our college and university libraries, they keep a list of contested and challenged books. And I noticed number six was the Holy Bible for religious content. So I proceeded to dig a little deeper. And they've only been keeping these statistics since 1990. The top 100 books for the decade of the 90s, nowhere was the Bible in it. The top 100 most challenged books for the year of the 2000s, for the decade of the 2000s, the Bible was nowhere in it. Yet somehow, our society has deteriorated in such a way, so quickly, by the year 2015, and I started at 2001 or all the way through 2015, in the top 10 books, all of a sudden, our Holy Bible shows up at number 6 for the year 2015. You mark my words. We've lost the battle for the house of learning. We're losing the battle for the house of law. And soon our houses of literature, libraries, won't have a copy of the Word of God because someone will say, it's not right to spend taxpayer dollars to sponsor religion. And they'll remove God's Word from the libraries. And that might be the last place that some people ever get an opportunity to read the Word of God. And as I said, I felt like I may be the only preacher in America that noticed that had happened. I don't know. I told my pastor about it last night. He brought up a point, and I did not get a chance to look at it because, honestly, I had to take some medicine and go to bed last night. But he said, well, I wonder where the Quran's at on that. Well, I'll go check that out. But we've lost some of these battles. We're losing some of these battles. And mark my words, they're going to attack us. And they're going to take the Word of God. And they're going to continue to push it out of places that it doesn't need to be pushed out of.
Amen.
It hasn't happened yet. I checked in the hotel room that Brother Richardson was gracious enough to provide last night. And I opened the drawer this morning to check. And praise God, a Holy Bible was still in that drawer. You know, when our Lord and Savior was born, there was no room found for him in the inn. And right now, in our houses of lodging, there's still a copy of the Word of God. But I guarantee you, in just a short time, somebody will sue some hotel chain, and there won't be a Word of God in the houses of lodging either. I want to give you the burden to pray about and to think about. Look at our past. Look what's happened. look where we're going. And remember that to many people, the Word of God is becoming increasingly inaccessible. And we, as God's men and God's women, as Christians, are the last Word of God that many people will see. So what's printed on your pages? Lord, help us.
Amen.